Watch what craftens. Watch what craftens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of the Game Brain Podcast, also the Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. And joining me is the wonderful and hilarious and ever so handsome Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Hi.
Hi. You look beautiful today. And of course,
well,
I can
thank
see
you. So do welcome. You. I just love your
thank
haircut.
You.
So handsome.
Oh, I shaved my long hair off. It went on a journey. It was very long, and then I buzzed the sides off, which was fun, and I had this long emo in the front and like short on the sides, and that was cool for a week, but then my bangs kept getting in my eyes, and I said, you know what? I want to have a bangless existence in my eyeballs, so I just went and I shaved it all off, and here I am with a little peach
quite
buzz
a
up
journey.
Here.
Quite a journey.
Quite a
on.
Journey. If you want to see what my hair looks like, the great news is that this is a Crappens on Demand episode, which means that if you go to patreon.com/watchorcrappens and you sign up at the Crappens on Demand level, you get to watch the recap. You don't just have to listen to it. And speaking of watching recaps, we are super excited. Earlier this week, we announced that we are doing our first like real deal, big time live virtual show. It's a ticketed event. It's very exciting. It's using a platform called On Location Live, and you go to onlocationlive.com/watchwhatcrappens to get your tickets. It's going to be on November 12th at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific, and we're going to be recapping the series premiere of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and it's really cool because you can chat with us, you can chat with other audience members, and it's going to be a really super fun time, and it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can come watch us. So let's make this like a big, super fun experience.
Yeah, and, guess what? You know, I'm no psychic, but I can tell you one thing that is going to be extremely amazing about that date, November 12th. The elections will be over, guys. We're going to be back to peaceful times. Just kidding. You know, I mean, times aren't going to be probably peaceful, but they'll be more peaceful. Okay. You don't have to argue every time you see your family, hopefully.
Yeah. And the truth is this, people still will probably be riled up about something or another by then. And so come to our live show and like, you can check it at the door. And for like 90 minutes, we can just be Bravo fans talking shit about Bravo stars.
It just feels like so far in the future saying November 12th. It's like,
I know.
It seems like
it's really only like 10
years
away.
I know.
It's close. Yeah. I mean, it's real close. So I guess technically it's 2 weeks from today. So, but it's going to be a super, super fun time. And, you know, Ronnie, you and I are such hams. We love having an audience. And I know we'll be like extra ridiculous because that's just what we do. We're like, there's someone watching
for literally 10 hours. Okay. So today is Real Housewives of Orange County. My hip.
Oh, I thought you said whale.
Like, no, I said my hip.
My hip.
Emily, my hip. And previously on Real Housewives of Orange County, my hip wants to do shots.
My hip. Hips don't lie, but they do hurt sometimes. So, this is a big episode. A lot happened. I thought it was a great episode. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was great. I was super into it. This is my favorite kind of Real Housewives episode when there is a super, super, super petty fight that escalates to ridiculous screaming and things being thrown at a party, but the underpinnings are actually in something very real. So I really love that. It's a great mix for me.
Very real and very, very stupid. Which
I like. A stupid fight that is somehow moored in alcoholism. That's what we tune in for, right?
Kind of moored in alcoholism, but it's also, you know, I am getting triggered a lot because I have a lot of alcoholic feelings, okay, about myself and family and everybody around me. And I do find myself screaming at the TV a lot. But you know what? Good. I'll just save it for the recap as it goes.
Save it.
Yeah, save it for the show.
Yeah. But we open, we know it's going to be a good episode because we get shots of like what Orange County really is. It's yoga on the beach. It's sightseeing through ocean binoculars. It's white people dancing really whitely. Okay. The boardwalk.
Yeah. And we see Archie, one of our favorite animals. I actually almost feel like Archie gets short shrift. There's been a lot of talk about T'Challa lately, and T'Challa has sort of like risen to number one in Bravo Pets. Sorry, Jiggy, but T'Challa is number one right now. But I feel like Archie is never really part of the conversation, and Archie should be part of the conversation. He's like one of the few full-size dogs that we have on the show, aside from Storm. But I'm sorry, I feel like Storm is disqualified because he's a copycat dog.
Storm. That's like a thirst dog, you know? I'm not saying Storm is thirsty, but it's Kyle's whole reason of getting Storm is thirsty.
Yeah.
It's like when you meet that like really needy girl on your block that just got a three-legged dog just so she could say she has a three-legged dog. Like out of all the dogs in the place, she got the three-legged one just to say she got the three. Like she's the best. She's the nicest. My rescue's better than your rescue. All right. Mine's on a wheelbarrow. So that's kind of Storm to me.
Storm. And also, honestly, names do matter when it comes to like, I think like ranking dogs and or pets. Not to say that there's like a good name or a bad name, but when you see, if I were to look at a German Shepherd and it had a certain sort of name, and then I look at a German Shepherd that has a name like Storm, there's a chance that the name could be the deal breaker in terms of which one I'd like more, to be honest, you know.
Well, actually, like now that you mention it, Storm is named, like, that's Halle Berry in the X-Men, right? She plays Storm. And then T'Challa also is from
yes, from Black Panther.
From Black Panther. And who else's dog are we talking about? Archie is from the comics, you know?
Mm-hmm. Archie is, you know, I mean, listen, Archie is a classic. Storm is Storm. I don't know. I think that, I don't know. Also, the other thing that's going against Storm is that he shares the same name as a Dateline reporter. And so, Storm Phillips, of course. So that kind of like makes him like less huggable.
Yeah, like Storm Phillips. When is someone just going to name their baby like Reigns? I mean, that's a commentator. That's a news person that needs something named after them. Dallas Reigns.
Dallas Reigns.
I love Dallas Reigns. Well, I'm Dallas Reigns. Look at your forecast today. It's like, okay, I get it. The weatherman named Dallas Reigns. I've always loved that.
Crazy. So Archie,
guess what? This isn't about that at all. This is about Archie the dog and how he feels about Shannon being in the kitchen with a giant shooting target on her refrigerator. Ben, did you notice that?
Oh, a giant shitting target?
Yes. It's a squatty potty shitting target. It's a shooting target.
I did not see the shooting target.
Look, I'm going to show you right now. Anyone on Crappens On Demand can look because I've been dying to show you. Look at her refrigerator door. It's a shooting target. Like when you go to the shooting range.
Oh, and
you
shoot.
It's like a human-sized shooting
There's
target.
There's a human-sized shooting target. I thought you were saying like a little like a magnet. No, it is like one of those silhouettes of someone's torso.
It's really dark, guys.
Which means that she went to a shooting range and was like, ha, I got a bullseye. I'm putting it up on my fridge.
She not only got one bullseye, she shot this poor piece of paper, 30 times? I mean, how many holes are on there, Shannon? And there is one dangerously close to the wiener down here, which you can see.
It's funny because I was going to say that this image has as much personality as David Bedore, but it would make sense that then she would shoot it 30 times.
Well, he does have holes in his heart. That's for darn sure.
And she has a surprisingly eye-level clock as well in that kitchen.
Does she?
It's like very eye level. It's a very low clock.
That is definitely designed for Shannon to see it because she is like right at her eye level.
She's like, well, I can't have a, Dr. Moon says I can't have a clock too high because I will hurt my neck. And as we all know, my neck is my emotional zone. So the more I strain my neck to look at the clock, the more emotional I become. Oh, I'm happy.
And now that we're looking at this very closely, this shot of Shannon's house very closely, this house is a damn mess, Shannon. Now, I know you're not buying this house, but there is such a thing as too much shiplap. Okay? There, I said it. Shiplap. Sorry, people who live in a barn. Sorry, Jesus. I know you were born in a place like, there is too much, there is a, such what a is thing shiplap? As, shiplap is this wood paneling shit on the walls. It's like the farmhouse.
Is that what they call that?
Huh?
Is that what they call that? I just said that in a very British way. Is that what they call that?
Yeah, this is a little different because it's different lengths. It's like stripe length, but yeah, it's like striped shaped shiplap.
I wanted to have something called Chip Lap because I am running laps these days because I'm trying to lose weight. And on top of that, it's a reminder that with for David Bedore, that ship has sailed. Ha! That ship has sailed because I'm running laps around a ship that has sailed. Ha!
Also, your cabinet storage, you know, when you add on cabinet storage to the side of your... Look, you add cabinet storage in cabinets, not on the outside of your fucking island. Look at this. She has a storage thing for all these iPhone cables and stuff that are just hanging out on the island. And then one with sponges on the side of the island, not even by the sink. What is happening in this house?
I put it in the sink. I would put the sponge one in the sink.
Yes, it goes also, in the sink. What's happening over there? Shanna says she's not happy, but this picture is telling me otherwise.
Does she have a tartan? Are those tartan blinds that we see there?
They're tartan.
And of course, we'd be remiss to say, you know, to not point out that there's two Mackenzie Childs vases. Actually, as Mackenzie Child vases go, these are really not that offensive because they're small. And they're also done. They have the pop of green is actually nice in terms of the plants coming out of them. And she did them symmetrically. So as far as these hideous Mackenzie Childs, you know, pots go, this is really some of the best that we've seen. But I still don't appreciate it here in this house.
I'm not into the black and white motif of this whole kitchen. And also the rooster, the Mackenzie Childs rooster.
I don't see the rooster. Oh, there it is. Oh, that's... See, I didn't see the rooster. My screen's much smaller. You know, the other thing is, I feel like the floor is so... Like, it's a nice natural wood tone and everything. And I'm okay with the island being black. But I agree, the white and the black of the shelves and all that stuff.
Everything. It's like too aggressive, the window treatments. Yeah. Even the shooting target is black and white.
Yeah, and you can tell they have that super white light. I would like some more warmth.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So let's get on with the actual recap now, because we'll be here all day if we go frame by frame through this.
We've literally only discussed the fact that Archie was on screen, and now we've like analyzed the entire kitchen island and its accoutrements.
So Shannon is trying to figure out her oven, I guess, and she's got some meat in it, and she's like, "Oh, well, look what happens when it's on the bottom, John. It doesn't even cook, John." And he opens the fridge and he's like, "Oh God, this smells." She's like, "Like rotten?
What kind of smell? Is it a rotten smell? Is it okay? Is everything okay?" He's like, "Everything's good. Everything's good. I'm serious. Is it a rotten smell? Does it smell rotten? Are there pathogens? Are there toxins? You know, I can't smell anything because it's my sinus surgery. John, is it rotten?
I can't smell anymore ever since I started going to the bathroom with Kelly, which is, how dare you? I'm a daughter. All right, Kelly, you are not in this scene.
So, since we're having a shot of a housewarming coming up, I bought some shot glasses with lemons on them. And I also want to come up with a signature lemon shot for the housewarming because, you know, my whole thing is now about lemons because I like lemons in a bowl. And 6 years later, I decided I should capitalize on it.
Everything is lemons all the time. And he's like, I think that's a great idea. Like, he's just, everything she says, he's like, wow, that is a down-home great. That gets a down-home thumbs up from me, Shannon.
Down-home great.
Isn't he really down-home? He's like, whatever you want, honey.
And she's like, it's just so nice to be supported for once. And this is my favorite. We get a flashback to some of David Bedore's greatest hits. And it's that first dinner party they held. And he's just like, dear, the people will be fine, dear. Don't worry, dear. Don't worry, dear.
That was the best because they didn't understand that the microphones could pick them up wherever they are. Remember that? Wasn't that like her first episode? It was like her first or second episode where they had a dinner party at their house. And they'd be like, oh, everything's great. Okay, me and David are just gonna go help each other in the kitchen. David, you goddamn idiot. David, dear, you better, dear, just calm down. David, you can't even cut a piece of meat, David.
Bought two bottles of wine for six people. So now back to present. She's like, well, I have a beautiful new house. I have a beautiful new boyfriend. There's potentially a rotten smell in the fridge, but we'll deal with that. I shot a piece of paper, so I think it's a reason for a muy grande fiesta.
Yeah, you know, I want to get that gym finished too, all right? Because, that gym, it just needs to be finished. So you want more than just that gigantic painting of your own face?
He's like, okay, I'll go get my Peloton.
No, no. You know, I hate that thing. It's claustrophobic, and my feet get caught, and the seat hurts my vagina. And I. Oh, God, Peloton flashbacks. Peloton, 30 to 40 negative thoughts. I'm trapped in a Peloton.
He's like, well, that's your pelvic bone, and your body will get used to it. She's like, oh, okay. So anyway, I ordered lemon outfits for the kids to serve in, with lemon leggings and white t-shirts with lemons. They say, let's get real, lemony. All right. Oh, Gina texted. Can she ask if she can bring Emily as her plus one? So, talk about lemons. We're going to need a lemonade stand for that one. Okay.
That'll be a lot of squeezing.
I need a hot dog on a stick girl to turn that one into a lemonade.
I still can't smell the smell. I still can't smell the rat.
Did you notice, by the way, what they were eating for dinner? So when they finally had a close-up of this beef, because when they were cooking the beef, it was like very sad-looking beef in that oven. And then when they finally cooked it, it was just like all gray, fully overcooked. And the side, maybe you can like look on the video you have there. The side of vegetables with that beef, it looked like a mirepoix. Now, is mirepoix the right word? Mise en place. It was basically
mise
just like
place. No, it looked mirepoix, like it looks like, I see what you mean. It just looks like just cooked celery.
It just looks like you know when you're about to make like a soup or most things you have.
Yeah, that's
you chop
a
up your celery with
celery,
with,
carrots and onions, but it doesn't have the carrots in it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, here, when you have your aromatics, your like onions and your celery, and you chop it and you saute it, and then you put everything else in. Shannon's like, you know what? I think we're good. I'm just going to serve this part.
I'm just going to stop. We're not going to have mirepoix today. We're just going to have mirror.
There's okay? a close-up of it that's, I was like, it's just like this little tiny, like chopped up. It's got to be around like after... It doesn't matter.
I'm showing it right now. Isn't this what you're talking about?
No, there's a close-up of the actual plate, and you can see like it's after the Peloton. You'll see it's going to come up. It's after the Peloton stuff, and it's getting closer to it. Though it's still a full. There it is. It's just like this pile, and there's like a leaf. It's just like this brown, gray meat.
Yeah, just, like, you will have some of the salad, won't you? I really worked hard on the salad. And he takes one little leaf of it.
He literally has one leaf of salad and like a pile of sauteed onions and celery.
I also like that she's brought out her gold placemats for dinner with her boyfriend.
I don't know. I actually believe that sauteed onion and celery could be very delicious on its own, but it just also in this context like a very sad, strange, like aborted start to a dish. Yeah.
Well, that's when you start learning how to cook healthy, you know, like they say when you first start eating vegan, you're like, look at my vegan meal, and it's like a banana on top of a piece of white bread, you know, just like shoved on there. It's green, so I'm eating it. So she's throwing this big lemon party. And now they're talking about Emily. He's like, well, have you ever been friends with Emily? And she's like, well, she said, where's Fun Shannon? And, oh, you know, when does Fun Shannon come out? You know what I said? I said, where's Fun Emily?
I certainly said, and you know what? By me saying that was inherently Fun Shannon. Huh? See how that works? Huh?
Emily had a bad year last year, and I feel bad about that. But you know what? She wasn't kind to me. She was not kind to me. And then we see clips of them fighting with Shannon saying, you attacked my weight loss and my successes, and you had a bad year. Well, I had one last year, Missy. And Emily going, yeah, I know. I've heard about that over and over and over again, Shannon.
And then we come back, and Shannon, her voice is now trembling, and she's like, I've tried
to break through with her, and she just dismisses me all the time. She just dismisses me.
And then we go to flashback to when they were in Arizona, and Emily's like, I'm trying to get a breakthrough with you, and you just always shoot me down. You always shoot me down. So it's like clearly not Emily dismissing her. It's Emily like trying to connect with Shannon, and Shannon be like,
who's the rotten smell in the fridge now?
John's like, well, I think we're just better off being okay with it. You don't have to be best friends. Like, oh, I know. You are such a good influence. Look, I was just about to start sobbing, and now I'm smiling with tiny little bits of celery on my fork. You are such a good influence. You are. I'm so supported. Supported, Shannon.
I think I smell the oven beeping. Oh, wait, we left something in the oven. Oh, it's a little bit burnt. Oh, God, we have so many fun times here. So many fun times. So,
Kelly and Elizabeth.
Oh. They're driving in a car. Oh, I should mention, by the way, the latest goss is that Vicky and Steve Lodge may be rumored to have been broken up because they stopped following each other on Instagram. For anyone who cares, all five of you. Anyway,
oh my God, do people in their 60s do that too? Like, come on, enough, guys. There has to be a certain age where we're just like, I'm not gonna like be petty by unfollowing somebody I don't like anymore on Instagram. That's just stupid. Okay,
yeah.
Do what I do: make up a fake account, then go on their Instagram and call them fat. Okay, yeah, that's how to handle this in your 60s, guys. Okay? Do I have to teach you everything?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So, Kelly and Elizabeth, they're in a car, and Kelly is, she's going to be moving to what's called, I think, the Port Streets. Is that what they called it? And those are like fancy neighborhood. And Kelly is talking about Jolie saying how, like, Jolie says I'm not a mom. She says, like, you don't even go to PTO meetings. You don't even go to the PTO. You know, the paid time off meetings, you know, where you go and discuss how you have paid time off, right?
Yeah, we're so not parents. I guess that means, now that I look at it, it's
PTA is supposed to be what it's supposed to be.
What is it? PTA is Parent Teacher Association. Maybe this is Parent Teacher Organization or something. I don't know. Maybe they've changed it over the years. It sounds very like, war in the Middle East, you know, one of those things you hear, like, he was working with the PTO and then they got bombed. I'm like, what the hell are we talking about here?
It could be that too. I wouldn't be surprised if Kelly wound up in that organization. Well, we were working there and we got bombed. Oh, and I'm not talking about the booze, although I did that happened too.
So they get to the restaurant and they're meeting Gina and Elizabeth. Wait, yeah. They're meeting
Elizabeth's
Gina.
With Gina. Yeah, Elizabeth's already with her.
Okay. So Emily, Elizabeth, there's so many like white girls from church names in this show. I'm getting them confused very easily.
So they sit down and Gina's like, oh my God, you look so different with your hair down, Elizabeth. I mean, you look so pretty. I mean, not that you, when your hair was up, you weren't pretty, but you just look so different. You look like pretty and like attractive, like someone I want to be friends with now. I mean, like, not that you weren't before, but like, you look so pretty now. Oh my God.
Oh my God, just see this? It's gray. I got some gray hair here. Oh, I've never had gray hair. I was told that I would get my brown back after the divorce, which I'm making tons of money from. Tons of money from my divorce. You see, gray hair, gray.
So what does Burnt even do? Like, well, I can't talk about Burnt. I have a gag order. Like an actual gag order. Like if someone talks about me about Burnt, I go, that was acting. Thank you very much.
But I'll tell you this, we're going to trial.
And Gina's like, well, what does he do, your ex?
Well, she goes, what does he do, your ex? And Kelly goes, he's Norwegian. That's not a job, Kelly.
It's kind of like an oxymoron. For someone who can't talk about her divorce, damn, she sure talks about it a lot. Shit or get off the pot.
And Gina's like, but I'd like details, okay? And Elizabeth's like, well, I'm going to have a big divorce party. And we're going to spill the beans. That's what we're going to do. We're going to spill those beans. And Kelly's like,
So Kelly seems to hate this girl. She's like, well, so tell me about so you have a boyfriend? Tell me about the boyfriend. Yeah, but they don't have sex. They're stupid. All right? He doesn't even look at her and go,
What? You don't have sex when you're dating? Like, her accent is so, she's like so putting on a thicker accent. She says deeting, D-E-E-T. Come on, Gina. So she's like, why wouldn't you do that? And Kelly's like, yeah, it's so weird. You're a freak. Sexless freak. And it's like, well, he respects me because I'm married and he respects that. He's a gentleman. He's a real gentleman, that one.
Well, how long have you been dating Jimmy? I can either confirm nor deny until my divorce is over. Which then I was like, oh, okay. So they're not having sex because there's probably something that if she has sex, like somehow, like it could be used against her, like she's being unfaithful or whatever. And so they probably are having sex and she has to act like they're not having sex. That way she gets whatever she's entitled to. So that's why she's like, I'm so horny. I haven't had sex in so long. Oh, God. Hey, big spender. Oh, yeah.
So Gina's like, I don't understand. Is it a religious thing? Kelly's like, I don't even know how you go that long. It would go crazy. Like, Rick has the best stuff. Can't even tell he's 60. Like, he's 60, but his dick is like 20. You know what I mean? And I know 20, okay?
And she's like, yeah, he's probably having sex somewhere else. Probably like a Robin Tug. So then Liz starts saying, Liz is like, hey, so guess what? I met Shannon at Mozambique. And I'm like, of course there's a restaurant in Orange County called Mozambique. And I guarantee it has nothing to do with Mozambique. It's probably just like, you get some seared salmon and like some, you know, rosemary potatoes. But it's called Mozambique.
Yeah, it's named by somebody. It's owned by somebody named like Mo or something. So, Shannon. Oh, yeah. So we see a clip of Elizabeth meeting up with Shannon at Mozambique. And Shannon's like, oh, I remember meeting you one time. Do you remember what you said to me when we met? You said, I'm the richest bitch you're ever going to meet in Newport.
Ah. Oh, that's so funny. I could almost do my on a boat going under a very low bridge laugh.
Who says that? Who is this? This is like, did Dana die from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Like, has she died and just come into this woman's body? Because she's so much like her. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, but it somehow works because I feel like, again, I think knowing that Elizabeth started a dinner cabaret, like it informs everything. Like everything she does is like her on stage at like a, you know, a 30 seat little little corner in like who knows where. Performing.
You know who
like,
I am? The richest bitch you're ever gonna meet. No one's counting. That's who.
Hey, you better save some olive, some of those cocktail olives for me because I may be the richest bitch in Orange County, but I'm also the hungriest one. You know what I'm saying? Hey, hit it, boys. How dare you? That's my shtick.
Well, I'm shocked. She's trying to be your friend. She kicked me under the bus.
Like, well, you know, at least it's a new way. At least she didn't throw you under the bus. I actually, yeah. Like, kicked you under the bus better because it means you were already kind of on the ground and she just kicked you.
Well, guess what? Can I say something? Bronwyn's been taking shots about me in the condo, okay? And then Shannon's piping in and saying that she saw my house and she found it sad and depressing. Both words, sad and, not sad or, sad and depressing, okay? That's what she said.
Yeah, Bronwyn's not a liar, okay?
Yeah, well, don't bring me 9 lemons in a bowl and then say shit like that, okay?
Yeah, and so, you know, I expected it from Bronwyn, but then, you know, like, you know, when I became friends with Shannon, it took a long time, but I think we got to some place that was really authentic, you know what I'm saying? And if Shannon Bedour is saying that, then to me, then she's not a friend.
Yeah, and then we see why they're friends and what's so authentic, and it's when Shannon took her on a shopping trip to Beverly Hills and bought her a lot of stuff.
Shannon's like, you're my baby now. Okay, baby, does baby want a dress? Baby gets a dress.
Yeah, and she's like, I've tried with her. And Kelly says, yeah, well, you know what? Emily tried with her, too, and she just, like, she has it hard, too. I mean, almost as hard as I have it with Rick every morning. He's so hard, I can't believe he's 60. It's crazy!
Well, you know what? Shannon's almost 60, and she's not changing, you know?
And I was like, yeah, I mean, I joked. I thought it looked like the Brady Bunch, but that's basically it. Oh! So then the best part, probably the entire season, is them raising their glasses and saying, well, cheers to 2020. And Gina goes, yeah, 2020 is definitely going to be better than 2019 for me.
Oh, I have a feeling it's going to be, girl.
So then Sean is watching Bronwyn cook at home, and she's just stressed out, you know. She's, you know, sober. And I'm stressed out watching it. And she's like, where are the kids? I mean, Bronwyn, will you get me 5 large people cups, 4 little people cups? Just get the nanny. Get the fucking nanny. Okay, what am I fucking doing here? I pay people for this.
Exactly. She's like, and Rowan, her daughter's like, that sentence was very hard for you to say, Mom. She's like, yeah, well, all the Botox in my face made it hard. Probably also the realization that you live a life where you have to say things like, can I get 4 little kid cups and 5 big kid cups, please? Oh, God, how did I do this to myself?
So she's now 24 days sober, and she's a basket case, and she says, sometimes I'm so happy I want to jump out of my skin, and sometimes, and she's like, you guys, is Isabella here? Hazel, sit down. Isabella, stop eating your brother's head. Stop eating your brother. Okay. You, get down off the fan. Get off the fan. She's losing her mind.
Does someone have a broom? Just, like, swatting them all down.
Listen, I don't care if the cameras are there or not. You don't have to pretend to start raising your children now, okay? You're rich. No one expects you to raise your children. Get the hell out of there. Save yourself.
Yeah. And this time I was fascinated by what they were eating. I couldn't tell. It seemed like they were all eating eggs for dinner, which I fully support, by the way. Did you see that by any chance? I really want to get a confirmation.
No, I wouldn't have brought up this video if you were going to make me search for everybody's goddamn food.
No, I'm not looking for a confirmation.
Oh, yes, you are, and I'm currently doing it because now I want to know what they're eating.
Okay. I'm just more curious. With the celery thing, I wanted visual confirmation. With this, I was curious if it was eggs or some sort of yellow rice, but I think it was eggs.
It is something yellow. Let's take a look, everybody.
We're playing the game of what is Bronwyn's family eating?
Well, they're very healthy, first of all. I see why they're all so thin. They're eating salad, abuse your children if you want to. Oh, she's also got lemons in a bowl. Oh, Shannon's not going to like that.
Citrus.
they're eating salad. Is that beautiful grits? Table. Like polenta? What is that?
It may be polenta. It looks eggy to me. It looks like they're salad and a big pile of yellow.
Yeah, I'm going to say grits or polenta. You're saying grits.
Do you think Bronwyn and Sean are serving grits in their home?
Well, not grits, but they would serve polenta because it's fancy. Polenta. It's a fancy way of saying grits.
Yeah, maybe it's polenta.
And look at this kid. She can't stop staring at the camera, this baby.
I know. It's like, hello, you're on camera, baby. Do you even know how this works? Be natural.
Fire that baby.
We're going to need to work with that baby a little bit more. Thanks.
That baby is so unpro.
So they're making conversation. Bronwyn's asking everyone what their favorite part of today was, and like one of the kids is like, "I did activities," and Rowan is like, "I learned a new combo in dance class," and Jacob is like, "The best part of my day hasn't happened yet. It's when I fall asleep and I can mute all you stupid people." He has a point, by the way.
And Bronwyn's like, "Okay. It's time to get the kids ready for bed." And then they just throw them to the nanny. Like, she's just punting the baby over to the nanny. Like, am I done with this scene?
She brings the kids up to, like, the landing on the staircase. Well, I made it up 5 stairs. Feels good to be present. Anyway, here, take him. So then Bronwyn and Sean have a scene in their room. And she says, you know, it's actually like it's a very emotionally honest scene. But I also couldn't help laughing because the entire time they're talking about how, you know, all these years, I just haven't been as present as I need to be. And I always felt like a good mom, but now I think maybe I wasn't a good mom. I mean, they had a front seat to my demise. And, you know, the one thing I wanted to be good at, I'm a failure. And I wasn't strong enough for my kids. And it was like very, I really appreciate her being honest about her feelings. But I also liked how she's talking about how she wants to be present for her kids now while the nanny is actively putting them to bed.
Cutting to the nanny, putting them in bed. She's like, you know, I mean, there have been moments lately where Hazel has gone to the nanny instead of me. And that... I mean, I laugh it off, but it hurts. And then she started coming to me. That actually hurt more. So I told the nanny she was a lazy bitch. And that if that ever happened again, she was getting a baseball hat to the head. Okay?
And then Sean is like, he's like, I don't think I can talk about my wife's problems anymore. I know she needs me to be here for her, but I don't think I can do it anymore for tonight. So he goes, Bronwyn, it's going to be okay. That's enough for tonight.
Yeah, that's
enough. He pats her. He's like, I can't deal with it anymore.
Jeez. I mean, it's like 24 hours a day talking about your feelings and your problems. He's like, okay, time for bed. I need my own nanny, okay?
I can't do it anymore. So now we go over to Kelly's new house, and she's there with her realtor, Rob. And it's this new place in the Port Streets, and her whole thing is that she's like, "Whoa, I'm in suburbia. I wonder how suburbia is gonna appreciate it when I have sex with Rick because he's young and has got a dick."
And then her interior designer comes over and she's like, "Please take your shoes off when you come in here. Just kidding, stupid. Who cares? It's a rental. I don't care. Poop on the floor. Who cares? Stupid.
You're a dork." So she's basically saying how she doesn't want to be a Stepford wife like Shannon, and everyone in the neighborhood is a Stepford wife. And that like Rick is renovating his apartment in New York, and he's been in New York City for 27 years. And so it's going to be sort of like interesting to see him come out here to OC and live in OC suburbia.
Yeah, he wants to be Ward Cleaver. And I'm going to say, hey, why are you so hard on my beaver, Ward Cleaver?
She's been waiting many years to make that joke, I feel like. Ever since I was 6 years old, I've been wanting to make that joke.
So they start talking about the different rooms and doing Jolie's room. She doesn't want girly anymore because she's older. And how happy Jolie is just to be around a family community. And let's be honest, like, not between a highway and the Quiet Woman, which was like Jolie's only option before. It's like the
it was. Like, it literally was.
Like, there's a hot dog stand on the beach or the Quiet Woman where I get in fights with people and call them fat, you know?
And then I also, Jolie remains one of the smartest people on this show because we have a flashback of them house hunting with Jolie. And the realtor, they're in like a McMansion, and the realtor's like, look, there's a view. Look, there's a view right there, Jolie. And we see the view, and she goes, of what? Another house? Yeah, it's just like another house right there. It's like, why are you trying to pull a fast one on Jolie?
And, you know, Kelly's new chapter and everything. Amazing journey. And then we go to back to Bronwyn, and she's picking up Shannon now. And it's really tense in there. Shannon's like, so, how are you doing?
Also notice that Shannon was not wearing a seatbelt, by the way. Maybe that's why it was so tense, because maybe Shannon wasn't wearing a seatbelt and Bronwyn didn't know how to ask her to put her on her seatbelt because they were driving somewhere. It seemed very unsafe of Shannon.
I don't even know what to say. So Bronwyn's like, good.
You say, put on your seatbelt. That's the law.
Bronwyn's like, I mean, I'm fine. I just went to my first AA meeting. And she's pissed off, like she's not in a good mood. And Shannon's like, oh, how awesome. I'm so happy that you went. You know, Dr. Moon helps with emotions. So Shannon's doing that thing where she's just like, her head is sideways, like she can understand you better. She's like,
yeah.
You're like, you're a spoon in the garbage disposal. She's like, what do I do with you?
Shannon also always looks so uncomfortable when she sits in the front seat of cars. She always looks like she is sitting on like the shovel part of a bulldozer about to be dropped into a pile of junk. Like, she's always like, oh yes, like her shoulders are always up, and she's always sort of like bracing, like, I may fall out of this vehicle at any moment, and yet I won't wear a seatbelt.
So they talk about Dr. Moon, and Bronwyn's like, okay, well, look, I have something to tell you. I don't really want to tell you, but I guess I have to tell you. Kind of threw you under the bus the other day. I mean, you know, it's part of it, like, you know, saying when you're wrong. Sorry, I was wrong. I talked to Emily, and she said, where did you hear about my house being, you know, gross and disgusting and horrible and, like, for poor people? And I said, Shannon, because, you know, you did say it was sad. And Shannon goes, no, that was not me. I did not say anything negative. No,
I did not. And Bronwyn's like, no, well, she came over, had a couple of drinks, and said her house is really small and sad.
Let's be clear, okay? I am not a liar, okay? I put food in my mouth every day, but I did not say that Gina's condominium was sad, okay? All right, do not put words in my mouth, okay?
And then Bronwyn tells us, she's like, yeah, she came over, she had a couple of drinks, and then she said the house was small and kind of, and here's where it starts. Now, everybody who's ever been to AA or has friends in AA knows that this is just how it goes. It's like a natural progression, so you can't even bitch too much when somebody does it. But whenever you start going to AA, suddenly everybody around you is a fucking drunk. Like, the second you stick on your diet for a week, everyone around you is obese and needs help. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that kind of thing that Bronwyn was slipping into, where she's like, well, she did have a couple of drinks. Like, whoa, congratulations on your 24 days, man. But who are you accusing of what? You better get off my ass, woman.
Not that you're triggered at all.
No.
So basically, Shannon is now in full denial mode, and she's like,
well, no, I did not say it. I did not say it. Those words don't even exist. I don't even know. What's that word you said? Sad. I don't even know the word existed. I don't even know sad. Even what is that word?
What is sad? That's not in my vocabulary. Sad, huh? What? Can I have more than three letters? Are there even three letter words in the dictionary? I just said that, didn't I? Well, there's one. Okay, never mind. I take it back.
Bronwyn messed up. She's got to think more. When she's dealing with Tamara, when she's dealing with Shannon, she's got to think more like Tamara. Tamara would throw Shannon under the bus, but then she wouldn't tell Shannon until Shannon finds out some other way. And then that way, Tamara would be like, then Tamara has time to like gaslight and be like, no, what I said bitch, is that you said it, but you said it because you wanted to be everyone's friend and that you're a good person. She's turning it against you. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's exactly right. I wanted to be Gina's friend. That's exactly right.
Well, Shannon's like, I need you to set the record straight because I did not say that. And Bronwyn's like, okay, well, if it comes up at her party, I guess I will. She's like, it will. Clearly, it will come up at the party, Bronwyn. And Bronwyn says, okay, she'll set it straight, which we see how that works out later.
Yeah.
So exactly. Dr. Moon's office, Shannon's like, Shannon sees herself in the reflection of the door and she goes, oh my God, I look like a mom.
Bronwyn's like, you are a mom. So they see Mrs. Moon, and Shannon's like,
Dr. Moon can handle all of my ailments. He has this ability to tune in, and he knows what the problem is, and then he fixes it. Ow! Ow! He's fixing it right now. Ow! Ow!
He de-jams me every time I go.
And we see a clip of him saying, your belly button is communicating with the environment. So he's getting older and she's freaking out because someone's got to take care of me. And so Dr. Moon comes in and Bronwyn's like, you know, Dr. Moon, my life has just gotten unmanageable. I was drinking a lot and hiding it. My nanny's a bitch. I mean, what else do you want from me? Polenta versus grits. Go.
So he's going to start treating her ear, the middle of her ear, because that's where, I guess, he treats addiction. And Shannon's like, well, I never got that one, huh? He's like, oh, well, you know, you never had addiction treatment. You had lots of emotional treatment, but not addiction treatment. She's like,
well, thanks for that. Thanks for announcing that. Emotional treatment. Emotional Shannon.
I know. Was anybody else at home just poking their ears? Because you know I was. I was like, Am I still hungry? Do I still want peanut M&M? Do I still want them? So then it's Shannon's turn, and she's like, ow, I did something to my tailbone.
It's called a Peloton. I feel like an old lady. Don't open it up. Don't know that this is really no bueno. Oh, come on. Oh, Dr. Moon, no. Oh, I hate this one. No, ow.
Yeah,
ow.
He puts a needle like in the back of her head. She's like, oh God, no, Dr. Moon, no, Jesus. And he's like, I'm not Jesus. She's like, take it out. Bronwyn, is it out? Is it out, Broadway?
It's out.
Is it out? Is there a rotten smell in my fridge still also? Is there a needle in my head and a rotten smell in my fridge? I do not know.
So he's like, what's your anger about? She's like, well, today it's about Bronwyn. So.
I try to help my friends. And what are you trying to do to me? I mean, make stuff up to make me look bad? And now she's putting words in my mouth. Words instead of sautéed onion and celery in my mouth. Okay? This is the ultimate betrayal. Ultimate betrayal. Ultimate.
So then ultimate. We go over to Emily's house where she's getting ready and her kid Annabelle has her little kitty. And she's like, Shane, are you ready to go? Why are you laughing? He's like,
because like for an hour you're complaining I'm not even ready. And then now you're asking if I'm ready. It's like, I wasn't complaining, Shane. Then what do you call it?
King of Snarkasm!
So she's like, well, I have no relationship with Shannon at all, and now I'm showing up for her housewarming. I mean, it's like a middle age crashing.
I'm like, I didn't totally get that, but sure. So then we go over to Shannon's house, and she's putting her daughters and her like all the kids into
Let's Get Real
leggings. I was definitely getting flashbacks to the OC Angels. I don't know if you were, but this was like the reincarnation, like the OC Lemons.
Yeah, these lemons. So then we go to Gina's house, Gina and Travis, and Gina's like, are you excited to see their house? It's like super bougie, all right? It's on Port Street. He's like, oh, what's that house they used to live in? I mean, that's on the same street as, they used to all live there. They all lived on the same street. What was it called?
Like Desperate Housewives.
He goes, yeah. She says,
yeah, that's them.
They should have like a reality show that like is like the reality show version of Desperate Housewives. Wouldn't that be so hilarious if they did that?
Yeah. Oh, and then we get a clip of Shannon doing what Shannon does. It's just her walking through the house, going, "Oh, the oven's not closed."
clean that oven needs to be cleaned. Oh, jeez, there's something on the floor there. Are those floorboards? Where did we get floorboards from? Somebody clean the floorboards.
Well, it wouldn't be Sophie's room without a popsicle stick on the ground. How? Does anyone see my shooting target? Has anyone seen Archie? Oh, great, Archie eats it. I shoot the target 30 times and Archie eats it. Ha! I'm so happy. It's another popsicle stick. Why are there so many popsicle sticks?
So back with Emily and Shane, she's like, could you please be a good sister, Annabelle? Because Daddy and I are going on a date.
A date?
Well, maybe you'll find one at the party.
He's like, that's not my kind of party.
So now Shannon's just cleaning more. She's like, I think the house is ready. I think it's ready. I need a flippin' cocktail. Ha! By the way, you know what's great is having a housewarming party and then making all your kids work at it. Like, what the fuck was that all about? It's their house too. They can't, like, they have to be the help at their own party.
Yeah, because it's like for Shannon to show off all of her new foods and stuff.
Exactly.
So she's like, I'm so nervous, I can't breathe. I haven't figured out how to navigate my own bedroom.
Oh, this is Bronwyn. Sorry. I was like, why is Shannon saying this?
Bronwyn became Shannon.
Well, now I'm 28 days sober. I've got so many children.
So hard to deal with 10 children.
So Bronwyn's like, I'm so nervous, I can't breathe. I just haven't figured out how to navigate my own bedroom sober, let alone a party. I mean, I don't want to tell everybody that I'm not drinking because I'm just a weird alcoholic girl.
Yeah.
Like broke into a little Vicky.
Yeah.
Weird alcoholic girl.
Alcoholic.
So now Kelly's getting into the car with Emily and Shane, and Kelly brought a candle, and Shane's like, you gonna set Shannon's house on fire? King of Sarcasm!
Shane doesn't even have to say anything remotely funny anymore.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Like a candle is a very common, almost even lame gift. Like it's just like a thing where you're like, I don't know what to do, I'm bringing a candle. So the fact that he's like, a candle, what, I gotta burn it down.
Kelly's like, I wish, burn it down, just kidding. So Emily's like, well, I'm getting close to it. I mean, I told you the other day, though, I told Gina about what Bronwyn said about Gina's apartment. I'm like, this is so stupid. Listen to yourself. Yeah. I told you the other day that I told Gina about what Bronwyn said about Gina's apartment. I'm like, well, listen, stop yourself. And she said, well, Shannon said it was sad and depressing. And Kelly goes, oh, yeah, well, this is going to be Shannon. Well, I would never say anything about her. No.
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 Me?
No.
Me? I would never. And they start doing it. I mean, listen, they got her right down pat. Say what you will about these two women, but they definitely know how to impersonate Shannon. Me? Me? I would never. I would never say such a thing. Me? No. Never. Get into windshield wipers. Never.
So then it's Shannon. Shannon is training the kids.
Yeah.
And the cook. She's like, all right, today we're doing tastes. Just bite size. I want to make sure everyone gets something warm. Warm. Those need to be smaller. All right. Tiny salmon plates. All right. And there's like lots of enchiladas and lemons. Yeah. Lemons everywhere.
Exactly. And Shannon's father arrives, Gene, and he arrives in a Bentley and he's wearing a blazer and he's like, just the wasp I always knew Shannon's dad would be. He's just like, here's my lovely lady Diana. I'm making him very Southern.
But he's like, seem Southern. And just the way she describes him, she's like, well, my parents got divorced when I was in college, and, he's a handful, shutting down bars with 25-year-olds.
And Diane, well, Diane and I are one digit of numbers apart, one from each other, so he's a lucky man. I guess what I'm trying to say is that he married basically me, and that does not torment me at all. Not at all.
And Diane's like, she has like crazy OC, too much surgery face.
How is Diane not a cast member on this show? Like, answer me that. Like, like Shannon and her stepmother, and they're like a year apart. Oh my God. And she looks the part. Diane looks the part. She's like, hello, I'm Diane.
Yeah, give it time. So Gina and Travis arrive, and Gina's like, oh my God, so bougie. Look at the front door. It's orange. Whoa. And Travis is like, rad, babe. That's rad, babe.
He like stops in his tracks. He's like, Whoa. I'm like, he is so stoned right now. He's like, it's an orange door. That's rad.
The backyard is sick. Sick, babe.
And she's like, you know what? I definitely understand now why she would make the comment about sad and depressing when my home could fit into her home. I mean, my home is like a Polly Pocket version of her home. I mean...
Well, I'm like, Gina, you're the one who said it. So Gina's like, you know what? With everything going on, Shannon, can I pull you for a talk? So they go to have a conversation. She's like, you know, with everything going on, I'm hearing different things from different people. You know, it's really easy for me to hear them because my house is actually so small. So like voices carry very easily. And so I'm hearing a lot of things about different things going on. And Shannon's like, well, what do you mean everything that's going on? Are we discussing... the rotten smell in my refrigerator? Were you able to smell it? I'm not sure if it's still there. Is there a needle in my back of my head? I'm still convinced there.
Going on right now? Enchiladas. Okay? Do you want to start a fight with an enchilada in someone else's home? Is that what you want? You know the last person who tried to start a fight with an enchilada? Go look at the door of my refrigerator. Okay? And go see what happened to him. All right, Missy?
Well, you know what? Emily said that you said something about my home being sad and depressing, and I was shocked, okay? I thought we were cool, okay? She's like, what? I said, that's not even my vocabulary, sad. And what's that other word you used? Depossum? What was that word? It's not my vocabulary.
I never said that. I said it was small. I said it was small, but I didn't mean it like, oh, it's so small. I meant it like, oh, it's small. And Bronwyn came to see my house, and she said, I'm sorry to put it out there, but I threw you under the bus, and I gotta be honest with you, I would never say anything about someone's sad, depressing house being sad and depressing, okay? And she's the one saying stuff, constantly saying stuff, sad and depressing, depressing and sad. Like, there's no way anyone can be happy living with that many children in a small place. Gina's poor, poor Gina, oh, poor Gina. She said poor three times, she said poor four times.
She said that. You know what I said? I said, it's this place is sad that not more people can see it. He can come visit. It's sad that there aren't more of our friends here to fill up this small space. And I am depressing a button on my phone to text someone about how wonderful your house is. That's sad and depressing. That's the context that I use. Yes.
And Gina's like, well, you know what? I don't trust her. And I don't like the things she's been saying about things in my family. And I'm telling you right now, I'm the type of person that if you say you didn't say it, then I'm going to believe it. Because, you know, I don't believe that you would say that, Shannon. And Shannon's like, well, I have to tell you, Gina, I am a renter. Emily is a renter. You are an owner. You are an owner of a very sad and depressing little house. And I am proud of you.
Let me tell you something. You may have a little shack full of hundreds of children inside, and it's very small and very sad and very depressing, but you own it. You own it, okay? You own it. You own it, okay? And I am sure my house may be luxurious and spacious and just sort of the lap of luxury, but I only rent it. So you win. You win, see? Don't put words in my mouth.
Yeah. So she's like, do not let other people bring us down. You know you're sad. I know you're sad. Everyone's happy with you being sad. Gina's like, well, I didn't want to bring negativity into your house, okay? She's like, there's nothing sad about your life right now except your house, which is also depressing. But, you know, I'm proud of you.
So Jimmy and Elizabeth Vargas show up, and then they show up, and Sean and Bronwyn show up at the same time, and Sean's like, hey, someone's pulling up in style. Ah. And then Bronwyn's cousin, I don't know why I mentioned that her cousin Erin is with them, but she's there. And so Shannon, they all come in all at once. And Shannon's like,
oh, Bronwyn, are you a tequila drinker? Oh, never mind.
I was like, wow, yeah, you're undermining awkward. Right from the start.
Yeah, awkward. She's like, well, everybody else who is still drinking tequila, it's very smooth. Super, super smooth. It's very white smooth. Very, very smooth stuff. Can't wait till you all enjoy tequila. Bronwyn, would you like a diet nothing sad and depressing drink? Would you like
that? How do I describe this tequila? Bronwyn, do you have any help for me? I would say
It's smooth. It hits your palate. It feels like rainbows are going off in your mouth. And as it trickles down your throat, you feel stardust in your eyes, and you realize that all will be well in the world. It is like magic in the form of liquid. Liquid tequila. It is the most magnificent flavor and the most wonderful sensation in the world. Now, Bronwyn, could I get you a glass of sawdust?
Yeah. And Bron was like, we're tasting tequila. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. She excuses herself to go to the bathroom and freak out. And in the bathroom, she's like, you are okay. You are okay. You are okay. So then Emily and Shane are hugging. And Emily's like, Emily and Shannon are hugging. And she's like, there's part of me that would like to imagine Shannon would like me to be here at her party. But who are we kidding?
Yeah. Emily's just... I'm like, enjoy the party, Emily. Enjoy it. Yeah. So then Emily meets Jean and everything, and Emily's doing the whole thing like, there's a new fun, Emily. Let's do shots. Let's do margaritas. I'm fun. I'm fun.
I'm proving my fun by drinking more.
Yeah.
Which is a nice juxtaposition with a lady freaking out in the bathroom, afraid that she's not going to be fun anymore because she's not drinking. There, I said it. Who's sad and depressing now, bitch?
So then Kelly meets Shannon's dad, Gene, and she goes, oh, there's a daddy. There he is. Big Dick Daddy from Cincinnati.
I have never met someone's father and said, hello, Big Dick Daddy. Who uses the word dick when meeting someone's father?
Kelly Dodd.
Kelly Dodd.
And we get our Kelly first Dodd. Kelly Dodd.
Kelly Dodd. Kelly Dodd.
So Bronwyn, now has come out of the bathroom, and she's gathered herself, and then, and Kelly is, goes up to Elizabeth, and she's like, oh, you look so Hamptons. Oh, you're, so Hamptons, so classy. Have you met Big Dick Daddy over there with the bulge in his pants? Yeah, you should go talk to him. He's a wasp.
So Bronwyn goes over to Shannon, and she's like, how was it getting ready for the party? She's like, well, I stayed up to 3, which is unusual. Can I talk to you? Did you try my salmon? You need to try my salmon. Even though it's a little too big, you're still going to like it. So I need to tell you, I've been really upset with you. I never said her place was sad.
Oh, but you did, Shannon, you did. No, sad is not in my vocabulary. I'll tell you what is in my vocabulary. Lovely tequila drink. Would you like one? Oh, sorry. Sorry. My bad. I forgot again.
She's an owner. You're a renter. I'm a renter. And Bron was like, you said it, Shannon. She's like, oh my God, don't you dare put words in my mouth. Don't you dare put words in my mouth.
And then we
don't you dare tangent with Shannon. She just goes off the rest of the show, walking around going, don't
you dare. How dare you? Don't you dare.
Yeah, she relies on the standard, Karen, tool pack, right? Tool set, right? When all else fails,
don't you dare. How dare you? How dare you? Don't you even dare. Dare, dare. Double Dare. What a great show. How dare you make me watch Double Dare?
So then Bronwyn goes, so then we come back from commercial or whatever. And Shannon's like, you must have heard me wrong. She goes, I asked Sean when I got home. I was like, can you believe she's denying it? And he said, yeah, I heard her say it. She goes, but I didn't. She goes, then go ask Sean. She's like, I'm not going to go 2-1. How dare you?
How dare you?
And then we get a shot of Kelly. She has a plate of Shannon's food. She goes, this is really good. This is really good. And then she just puts it in the trash. So Bron was like, I am sober now, okay? And I have a memory that I can trust for the first time ever, okay? And while I didn't have a drink either. I didn't. It's like, you were drinking that day.
I had one drink split over several glasses, but it was one drink. Okay?
Oh, no, drink. You had more than one. Okay, so here we go. Now everybody else is going to be wrong in every fight because you're fucking sober.
Come on.
So, well, I will. Okay, I totally get what you're saying, and I fully I think that is a real thing. It's when you go on a diet for the first time or things like that. Sometimes there is a tendency to project on other people. That being said, Shannon does drink a lot. She actually is always drinking, and it really is not out of the realm of possibilities that Shannon would have gotten toasty and been like, I'll
tell you one thing. That is a sad and depressing house, okay? That is a sad and depressing house.
This is a situation where I don't... yes, what you may be saying is right, but what Bronwyn's saying could also be right at the same time.
Yeah, but even if she did say it, like having someone over and then drinking with them, and if she did say anything, it's because Bronwyn's like, oh my God, six people in that little house? That's sad and depressing. Blah, 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 which we know she was doing. She admits to doing. So it's like you're talking shit around somebody else, and if they don't fight with you and tell you, no, you are wrong, and have a big fight with you, then suddenly they're co-signing everything you're saying. It's like, oh, well, yeah. She was saying it's sad. No, the fight is you being bitchy about this poor girl's poor house, okay? And you were. You admitted it. So why do you need to drag somebody else into it? Like, who cares if Shannon even said anything? You're the one with the problem with Gina, you know? She's just trying to bring somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, she is. Well, I think she's basically like, I'm not going to go down alone, but this is what, like, I'm just relaying what Shannon told me. And I think it's possible that Shannon said it and just, it's like probably as like an offhand comment and like so offhand that she probably really doesn't remember saying it. Also, she probably was a little drunk. And Bronwyn just heard it and was like, I'm latching on to that, you know? We all latch on to different things.
Well, Bronwyn's like, yeah, but Bronwyn didn't even say that until she was standing up for herself in front of Emily. Because Emily's like, well, I heard you said that. And she's like, oh, well, Shannon said it. Shannon's the one who said it, too. So maybe go after Shannon. It's like, that's not cool. Just,
you I mean, know, she definitely take, did take throw her. When Bronwyn did that, she definitely threw her friend under the bus. Her friend who was just supporting her about,
yeah. Like if it was Shannon who was the one going around saying, Bronwyn said your house is sad and depressing, and she had said, oh, well, you said it too, that would be different. But Shannon didn't even say anything.
Yeah.
Like she's getting mad about Gina and Emily shit who are trying to start trauma. Yeah, I mean, drama.
I think ultimately, whether or not Shannon said it, I mean, the truth is Bronwyn did throw her under the bus, like in a way that was unnecessary and in a way that was sort of cruel to someone who was being supportive to her. And when the truth was that, like, again, Shannon may have said it, but Bronwyn's the one who's really been broadcasting it. So, yeah, and especially for someone who's been like, well, I own what I said. It wasn't a very owny moment.
Yeah.
But that being said, I still suspect that Shannon probably did say it. And... And it's all worth it anyway to see her get into such a tizzy because she gets so...
Yeah, so like, she's like, I had one drink. And Bronwyn says, no, you didn't. You had more than one. She's like, you know what, Bronwyn? You are really crossing a line here. Okay, you're crossing a line. And she's like, well, for the first time in my life. And I was like,
don't give me that first time in my life bullshit.
Which was hilarious.
Bronwyn, you mix stuff up all the time.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I used to mix stuff up all the time because I was drunk all the time, and now I'm sober. I just hit 30 days today.
And I am proud of you, but I would never call someone at home sad. Never. Ever. How dare you? How dare you? Words in my mouth. How dare you? I would never say that. Not my and vocabulary. How dare you?
She's like, either you're lying to me or you don't remember what I said because... She goes, no, you don't remember. It's like, okay, now you're saying she doesn't remember because she was so drunk. I can't. If this is going to be a whole season of this, okay? So I need to keep myself calm.
I'm okay with that. I love arguments like this. A lot of people are like, oh, it. Again, like, I love a petty argument. This is my favorite thing of all time.
I hate the, oh my God, Ronnie, well, you must have done it because you had a drink at dinner and I didn't. It's like, okay, you know what? You don't get a fucking parade for being sober and like remembering, and you don't get a parade for having less drink than somebody else in a conversation.
Crazy. Well, Shannon's like, well, you're getting real manipulative right now. Why were you even talking to Emily about me? And she's like, well, I answered a question, you know, she asked me where I heard what I said, and I said where I heard it. Well, don't you dare accuse me. Don't you dare accuse me of something that I did. Don't accuse me of something that I did.
Like, which also isn't true. That's not what happened. Where she said, who said that her house was sad? That's not what happened. She said, I heard you were saying that. And you said, well, ask Shannon because she said it too. So
yeah.
And so she's like, but you did say it, Shannon. She's like, I did not. And you're the only one who has been talking about Gina every single time. She's like, well, yeah, but I own it, Shannon. You know what? It's just going crazy. And then Shane just goes, oh, God, stay away from over there. Just stay away from over there.
There may be a candle that'll burn everything down. So
this is my party. How dare you? How dare you?
She goes, well, I didn't bring it up, Shannon, which is true. She's like, I didn't bring it up, Shannon. So then Bronwyn goes, like, she just goes over to Elizabeth and Sean and Jimmy, and she's just like, Shannon won't admit what happened. And she said, I lied. And she said, everything I'm saying is manipulative lately, but no, you're right. Like, I'm different. I'm different now, okay? You get to know the real me, all right? And you may not like me sober. Turns out I have a big mouth and I say things.
Elizabeth's like, she doesn't know what to do because she's standing there too. She goes, well, I'm on your team.
I want to be on your team. I'll have what she's having.
Yeah. So Shannon comes up to Emily and Gina. And she's like, well, I want you to know I never said anything bad about Gina. And Emily's like, well, what happened? Here's what happened, Shannon. We were at Annabelle's cat party. And she said, yes, I've said bad things about Shannon's place. And so did Shannon. And Shannon said it was sad and depressing. She's like, well, I did say small.
It is small. It is small.
And Gina's like, yeah, well, Shane is small too.
Yeah, and he's also sad and depressing.
All right, that was a bad example. Let's just drink more. Let's just drink more.
So Bronwyn's like, you know what? I have been talking shit nonstop behind Gina's back, and I own that. And I'm pissed at her, okay? And, you know, the truth is that every single time I try to be nice to her, she throws it in my face. And then we get a montage of basically Gina being an asshole to Bronwyn when Bronwyn's, like, trying to be nice. Like, and for me, I had totally forgotten about that time when Bronwyn's like, you know, you're like their little sister. She's like, you know what? Shut up, Bronwyn. Which is, like, the most little sister thing to ever do.
Yeah. Yeah, or the public school where Bronwyn's like, your kids are public, right? She's like, oh, public schools really take care of you, don't they? It's like,
sound like an asshole, Bronwyn.
Yeah, I want that fight. I want Bronwyn to, I want Gina to be like, so I heard you said that about my house. And Gina to go, yeah, because it's fucking sad and depressing and I'm talking shit because you said my husband tried to fuck you. Anything else?
Mm-hmm.
That's the fight.
That's a good meat. Fight. I think we're getting there. So Bronwyn's like, I have never seen anyone so ungrateful in my entire life. And I'm just like at a place in my life where I'm only owning truth. Okay. You're only as sick as your secrets. And if Shannon won't admit it, I don't know where to go from here.
I love that. I love bringing that speak into it. You're only as sick as your secrets. Like, they weren't referring to Real Housewives fights. Okay.
Yeah. They weren't referring to whether or not you called someone's condo sad.
That's my secret. My secret is I call Gina's house sad.
Yeah.
My name is Shannon Bedore, and I call someone's house sad depressing. That's it.
So Shannon is just,
if you give me
on
one more
right
fucking
now,
chip, you're going down, David. I'm telling you that right now.
It's all worth it, because Shannon's now at like level 10, which is my favorite kind of Shannon, where she's just like deranged. And,
yeah.
And she's just like going up. She's like, I would never say Gina's house was sad. I would never. It's like, ma'am, you're talking to the caterer.
I would never say it was sad.
How dare you?
And Emily's just laughing. She's like, oh, if it were me, Shane would just throw me under the bus. Shane would be like, yeah, she said it. She said it. She's so stupid. I like candles. So then Emily's like, was she trying to say that you were drunk and you don't remember what you said? Was she trying to say that? You know, this is what I hate. She's trying to use sobriety as a weapon against us, which is what you're saying.
Oh, honey. Did she? I didn't hear her say that.
Well, she didn't say that, but she basically is saying, like, this is what I don't like, is that she's using this as a weapon. She's weaponizing
this.
Yeah,
she is. She is. You know? That's not cool. But I also get, like, you know, quitting something and just being, like, in a really shitty mood, too. And so, you know, part of it is just, like, you got to allow for that, too. Like, she became sober while she was shooting the show, so she's going through it all on camera, and that's,
mm-hmm.
that's not easy. But, yeah, she is kind of weaponizing it, I think.
Yeah. So now Gina is talking about, now they're talking about the text that Sean sent to
Gina.
Oh,
isn't it over?
No.
Look at me. I was like drinking my water. Like, okay, Ben, say bye to everybody now.
No. There's like a whole thing that happens. Wait, you saw this part.
Maybe I deleted. Okay, go ahead.
You probably deleted
your notes.
Do you want me to? I can send you my notes. You want me to send you my notes?
No, it's got to be almost over, right?
It's relatively close. I mean, there's still a lot. I still have like a lot of dialogue. I still have a lot of notes, actually.
Okay, well, go for it. Welcome to Ben Theater.
And now Ben Theater. Oh, welcome to my cabaret. I'm going to talk about what happened the rest of the show. So Gina starts talking about the text again and be like, you know what? The text you just said, did you get home? Okay. Did you get home? It made me uncomfortable. Okay. You know, I'm not judging, but I don't want to know about it. All right. Now, I personally didn't think the text was that bad, but I also, I think Gina's allowed to feel uncomfortable by it. I was thinking about it. I think she's allowed to feel uncomfortable by it, but I think it's also kind of shitty that she, like, I think that, well, I don't know. I don't know how to say this, because if she's uncomfortable about it, she's allowed to talk to other people and be like, is this fucked up or whatever? But I also feel like, in a way, Bronwyn has more of a right to be mad about that than Gina has to be that someone said that her place was sad and depressing. I don't know.
Were doing her a favor after they were out drinking and she was too drunk to get a car. And so they got her a car. And Bronwyn's saying that she was just, Sean was just calling to check on her, and she's making it out that he was like trying to perv out on her or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, of course, you have the right to feel uncomfortable if you feel a guy's being creepy with you or ever. Right. It's going to Tamara, of all people,
yes,
and being, you know, laughing about it and being insinuating.
On camera and all that.
Yeah. Like, come on.
And it's sort of funny because when Bronwyn came to the Crappies, Bronwyn famously made a scene at our show where she stood up and defended Tamara so hard, the entire audience booed her. And she's like, Tamara is a great friend. And I was like, boo!
Yeah.
So anyway, so Sean is like, he's like, you know what, Bronwyn, we got to go talk to Gina. We got to talk to Gina. Let's just snip this in the bud, okay? And so they go over there, and Elizabeth is like, she's like, well, I've never seen women act like this. I mean, Bronwyn's as big of a nut as the rest of them. Oh, wow. So Bronwyn's like, Gina, can we talk? But I wanna talk before I'm about to leave, okay? And Kyle's like, are you crying? Why are you crying? You're stupid. You're crying. She's crying. She's crying.
What, did you taste that salmon? It was disgusting, Ross. Dude, it was horrible. That salmon was as hard as Rick at 6 a.m. He gets so hard.
He's so hard. So Bronwyn's like, listen, Gina, I don't know. I'm just going through a lot of shit lately. And then Shannon's like, and you have a friend who's there for you, but you put words in her mouth. In her mouth. And I'm there for you. But I can't be there for you if there's words between you and me and they're in my mouth. I can't be there for you. So she's like, wait, you heard it wrong. You hear things wrong. That's what happens. Okay. And so, then, Shannon's just on one. Because now she's talking to Sean, and she's like, I have been nothing but good to you guys. And you put words in my mouth. Words in my mouth. Okay. Okay. And Sean's like, Shannon, you did say it. It was sad. You did say it. No, your wife is the one who keeps saying, how can I do it? How can I do it? And I say it works for them. They have, their kids are small. That's why I said small. The kids are small. The kids are small. Ding, ding, ding. I got it. I figured it out.
And depressing. They're both small and depressing.
How dare you? How dare you come into my house and start putting words into my mouth? Into my mouth. This mouth is reserved for celery and onions. Okay? Chop the purse small and saute. That's
unless not there's words. Cream cheese in the middle of those words, I do not want them in my mouth.
This is a celebration for me. And you're telling me I'm a liar? You're a liar? Huh? And then Elizabeth is just watching and she goes, oh God. Shannon's pissed. Oh God. So then Shannon's saying, I am known for being totally truthful and authentic. And then we see Bronwyn, and Bronwyn goes, okay, so Gina, I have been talking shit about you nonstop, and I'm owning that that happened. And she's like, but why? Why? Doesn't make it better, you know? So then at this point, Shannon has now progressed to timeout symbols. She's just making the timeout symbol with her hand, her gesture. She's like, I am happy for my friend. Timeout! I'm happy for my friend. And all I did was talk about her happiness. That's why I'm making the timeout gesture, because I want to say, I want to take some time out for my friend who I'm happy for. I'm happy for her. Timeout.
So then is this, I thought the show was over for some reason, so I don't have notes on any of this. I'm really sorry.
So you do not see any of this?
No, but since I have the video downloaded, I'm looking through it, and I see Gina freaking out on Bronwyn now, but Bronwyn's standing right in the sun, so she's doing this.
Yeah,
Bronwyn. She's like shielding herself.
Bronwyn does that in general.
Time. And
she does
Gina
that in general.
Is just like going off, telling her off. So what is Gina telling her?
So Gina says, you know what? You haven't called or texted at all and just launched this attack against me, okay? And Then Bronwyn goes, you know what? I really wanted to. I just couldn't find the time. And Emily goes, you have two nannies. You don't work. You make the time. And then Bronwyn goes, this is how she responds. She goes, well, you know, there was a thing with Rowan, and then I had a thing with Jacob, and then I had to get a facial yesterday. And then we go back to Shannon, who is now pointing at, she's pointing at Sean, and she's like, maybe you guys need to start being authentic. Maybe you guys, let's get real. Oh, it ties in. Let's get real. You get real. And Sean's just going, Shannon. So then Shannon turns to Bronwyn and goes, well, maybe you guys need to get authentic. That's what I just said to him. It was really good, so I'm going to say it to you. Maybe you guys need to get authentic because I own my shit, okay? Even though I'm technically a renter, we also have to remember that. I'm a renter, but I own my shit. Oh, God. The fact is, I'm having this conversation at a party that I'm hosting. Unbelievable.
It's like, Shannon, you brought this up, okay? So then Gina's like, you know what? Let's call a spade a spade. Nobody would be talking about my situation if your wife wasn't going around launching some crazy fucking whack attack on me, okay? It's a whack attack. If you had an issue.
It's a whack attack.
It's a whack attack, which I also feel like is a toy that Gina once bought when she was a kid. It's a whack attack.
It's a whack attack. We all had them.
So she goes, if you had an issue, you know, come with me to your issue. Don't go around slamming me because I don't have as much money as you guys. Now, fair. Bronwyn should have gone to her. But also, maybe Gina should have gone to Bronwyn about that text message, too. Sorry.
Yeah.
So Kelly's like, well, how do you know how much money they have? How much money do you know how they have? And Bronwyn's like, you know what? It has to do with character. And Gina's like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? And this is, now we're reaching the climax, Ronnie. This is the big, big thing that happens. So she's like, you want to talk to me about character right now? Wake up. You're a sloppy chihuahua. And then she goes, and this is like this moment where you're going like, oh no. She goes, you're never clear. You're wasted all the time. And so now you're like, oh, whoops. And then Brahma goes, absolutely, Gina. Absolutely. You get over yourself and get over your thing with me. Go. Come on. Get wasted again, Bronwyn. Get wasted again.
And you're like, oh, no.
And then so Brahma goes, I'm 30 days sober today, bitch.
And then she throws a drink and like walks off.
And Gina goes, are you? You're acting like it. And that, yeah, she throws the drink. Goes, fuck you, Gina. Fuck you.
Oh, my God.
I definitely recommend you going to watch those last
I will. Last I'm so ashamed minutes. Of they myself. Because I finished my notes with Bronwyn. I was like, wow, Bronwyn got to finish another episode with, like, her, I have been sober for this many days or whatever. I was like, good for her. And that's my last line is Bronwyn. If she's not even willing to admit she said it, then I don't know where to go from here. And I was like, oh, that was a fun episode.
You're like, that seems like the natural conclusion.
Yeah, it did. It seemed like a nice, normal ending.
I like that. But there was actually a very explosive final scene. That's why I was saying I liked that it was like a petty fight that like blew up but still had underpinnings in the thing. Because it was like, I've been sober 30 days, bitch. But also like Gina, oh man, like why don't you get wasted? I mean, I actually felt bad for Gina because she had no idea what she was
stepping into. Yeah, because she didn't know that she was sober yet, right?
Yeah, she shouldn't be held. I hope people aren't making fun of Gina for that because she didn't know. But you're like, oh, whoops. Oh, this is awkward. But hey, we got a glass that was thrown. We had an awkward fight. We had Shannon losing her mind. It was great. It was a great, great episode.
Yeah, and Elizabeth walking around in her crazy person outfit. I was just scrolling through this video, her big hat with a thing around her white dress. Like, hello.
Well, these people are crazy.
Well, fun so far. That was episode 3. So that means we're a quarter through the season, guys.
Is it only 12 episodes this season?
Yeah, COVID, I think, cut it short. So supposedly they're at 12 episodes.
Perfect.
Because Vicky was saying, like, oh, you guys are so terrible. You only got 12 episodes. That's how much you suck because you're lame. You're boring. Which, actually, it's a decent season.
Actually, the season's been really good so far. So sorry, Vicky. Sorry, Victoria. And actually, last season was good, too. So it's been really good since you left. Sorry.
Yeah, been really good. Oh, then she posted something. You know those clickbait articles that the housewives are paid to post? Where it's like, click here if you want to see inside my vagina. And then you click it, and it's like, I like Velcro. You know, it's like never anything to do. That I saw
same one. Thing basically in camera.
Yeah, and it was like Vicki Gunvalson has something to say after everybody talked about her the entire episode of this Real House. I was like, no, they didn't. They talked about Tamara the whole time, but I don't even think your name came up. Sorry, Vicki.
Yeah, SARS Vix. Anyway, thank you guys for watching our little recap here and for listening. And definitely be sure to get your tickets for our live recap of Salt Lake City on November 12th. We have the URL, if you can't remember. It's just on our website. It's also on our IG, all that stuff. It's everywhere. So we'll be back tomorrow with, oh gosh, the season premiere of Southern Charm. So I don't even know what that's going to be like, but we're going to dive into it. We're going to do it.
We'll
we're going
to do there. It, guys. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for watching.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Coutar. We love you guys.